To the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to look at, I think, what are going to be familiar scriptures to most of you. I've been spending a lot of time in the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And you know, when some of the things that were addressed, some of the issues that were addressed, I guess specifically in 1 Corinthians, are some of the same things that come up today, you know, with many Christians regarding, you know, whether it's anything from divisions to getting caught up in works, to try and be good enough, and all of these things. And it's really wonderful learning to see this, because they were people, but they were born again ones. They were saints, and, you know, and the word's real clear about that. And you see, in looking at those epistles, you know, the completeness that belongs to the believer because of what Jesus Christ did. And just, you know, all that Jesus Christ has been made because of what he did. But I took a little break, and I just kind of like did one of these. And I landed in one of the Gospels. And I just started reading. And I thought, wow, here's Jesus Christ. Before he's exalted, before he's carried out what he was to do on behalf of men. And what he is doing at this point, and what he did perfectly without ever blowing it, was he did all of whose will? Of God's will. He did all of God's will without ever blowing. Isn't that something? All of God's will. And I wanted to read some scriptures in light of that. And then we're just going to read some records here. Okay? I think it'd be kind of fun. I want us to start here in John chapter 1. This is a great section of scripture. We don't have time tonight to go through all of it. So we're going to pick it up in verse 14. For our purposes. In verse 14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And then you have a phrase here, "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." This is in reference to in the beginning. In the early couple verses of the Gospel of John, which has been misunderstood to mean at creation. There are many, many beginnings in God's Word. As a matter of fact, I think we did a thing on that a few months back, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Probably on the website. I think it's called Many Beginnings or something. But it's really important to understand, because there's many places in the Word where the phrase "in the beginning" is used. It's not talking about creation. There's one in 1 John. The truth that we have known from the beginning. That ain't creation. That's the day of Pentecost. Right? Well, this beginning that is referred to here in the Gospel of John is that word regarding the promised Christ. That's in Genesis 3:15. That was the last thing that was pronounced before the fall. And that is, in response to what Adam had done, the woman, remember? Adam blamed the woman. It's always a woman's fault. Hey. But God said, he looked at the adversary, at the serpent, and said, "Okay, you did this to my man? This is what I'm going to do. I'll put enmity between the seed of the woman and between your seed. His heel is going to crush your head." That's right. And from that point forward, the subject of God's word is that seed. In Hebrews, it says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. Who said that? Jesus Christ. He's the subject of God's word from Genesis 3:15 on. The word that's being spoken of here and the word that became flesh is who?
Jesus Christ.
That seed that was promised. And it was promised long before John. It was promised long before a lot of things. Do you understand? So I'm doing a very short version of this chapter. But that word that was made flesh is referring to Christ, the Christ. And that's who John bare witness of, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace upon grace. That's how you could translate that. Grace upon grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath what?
Declared.
He hath declared him. Jesus Christ declared God. That means he made him known. He made known God. He was God's what? He was his only begotten Son. You know, his first recorded words were to his mother, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? That's when he was 12 years old. Right? That's right. He was about the family business. He hath declared, he hath made known God. That's what Jesus Christ did. See? Now, with that in mind, let's look at a couple more here. Let's look at chapter 8 of John, since we're in John. John 8. He is speaking to some of these religious leaders that weren't quite getting it. And in verse 29, he says, he that sent me is what? He's with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that what? That please him. I do always those things that please him. Always. Let's turn to Mark, Gospel of Mark. So we're going to have to go back a little bit. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. This is when John baptized Jesus Christ. It's really quite a record when you study it. You know, John said to Jesus Christ, he said, whoa, 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 whoa. I had need to be baptized of you. And Jesus Christ said, it's not time yet. Let's fulfill all that needs to be fulfilled. Boy, and then John baptized. Isn't that something? John knew who he was. Really something. Anyway. Verse 9. Verse 8. This is John speaking. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with Holy Spirit. He's speaking of that one that is to come, that Christ. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he, John, saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am what?
Well pleased.
I am well pleased. in whom I'm well pleased. There's another record of a voice from heaven, of God. We can look at it. We got time. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. This is on the Mount of, what's referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't think it was called Mount Transfiguration. But anyway. Verse 1 of chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Elias is referring to Elijah, and is the name of my newest grandchild. And behold, okay, we read that. Verse 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good. It's good for us to be here. Peter's a little nervous here. It's kind of great. Peter, I love him. If thou wilt, let us make your 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah, okay? And while he yet spake, while he was offering his suggestion to Jesus Christ, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Kind of shut Peter down there, you know? But That's the second recorded time where that voice from heaven, you know, don't worry about Moses and Elijah. This is my Son. Hear him. You listen to him. Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. He always did those things that please God. That's right. So when you read the records of Jesus Christ, whose heart are you seeing? You're seeing God's heart. It's exactly right. You know, near the end of the ministry of Jesus Christ, when he was with his men, it's in John 14, I believe, when he's teaching them about what's going to happen. And he's teaching them about the comfort that's going to come, about spirit that's going to come. Now, they weren't quite getting it all. They were a little freaked out about what was going to happen. But one of the things that came up was Philip. You know, Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. Just show him to us. We'll be satisfied. We're good. It sufficeth us, it says in King James. And Jesus Christ said, Philip, have I been so long time with you? And you want to see the Father? He who has seen me has seen the Father. For the works that I do only those works that please him. When Jesus Christ healed the leper, whose will was he doing? He was doing God's will. Do you understand? All these records, when he healed all that came, whose will was he doing? When he fed the 5,000, whose will was he doing? When he fed the 4,000, whose will was he doing? See? It was God's heart. That's right. It's really... That's what he was doing. He was making known. He was declaring his heavenly Father. See? Let's read just a few of those records. Okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, I think it is. I've got a number written down here. We're not gonna go to all of these, but there's some great stuff. Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus, verse 23, went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with many diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, those which were nuts, lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he what?
Healed
and healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Isn't that something? Mark. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 3. You know, you can see amazing compassion, almost unbelievable tenderness in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. But I tell you, there are also times where he got pretty intense. That's right. And you know when that was? It was when he was dealing with religious men. Men who thought they knew God. They didn't. Men who put people in bondage in the name of God. Jesus Christ didn't have much tolerance for that. That's right. Tells you something about God, doesn't it? For God so loved that he gave. He so loved the world that he gave. Really something. We're going to see a couple instances of that in these records. There's one here in Mark chapter 3. This is right after or shortly after his temptations in the wilderness. Verse 1, and he entered again, Jesus Christ, into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him. See, now if you follow the context back, it's referring to the priests. Anyway, they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might what? That they might accuse him. Isn't that something? That's what they had done with the Sabbath. They had turned it into this thing where if you did anything, if you so much as did anything, see, you were in violation of the Sabbath. A man couldn't even be healed on the Sabbath day. That's how hard they'd become. And they were doing it in the name of God. They said this was God. This is who God is. Unbelievable. And he said unto the man, this is Jesus Christ, he said unto the man that had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, hey, is it lawful? Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save a life or to kill? They didn't say anything. They didn't say anything because they were waiting to accuse him. And when he had looked round about on them with what? Anger. Being grieved. He was grieved for the hardness of their hearts. Isn't that something? Always did the will of God. And he was grieved for the hardness of their hearts. That this man who had this incredible need that they could care less about. All they cared about was whether you did the right thing on the right day. And that ain't God. That's not the true God. Do you understand? Boy, these are just some of the great things. And he said to that man, stretch forth your hand. Now, a withered hand, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but, you know, where it's all withered. It's shrunk. It's not... And he says, stretch it forth. Well, that's impossible. But if Jesus Christ says, stretch it forth, and you go to do it, you know what's going to happen? You're going to stretch it forth. And that's exactly what happened. Yeah. And that man was healed. You think that man rejoiced? Oh, man. But those religious leaders set about to destroy Jesus Christ because of this. That's something. And they did it in the name of God. They thought they knew who God was. And yet they had he who was manifesting God's heart right in front of them. See? It's incredible. Let's read. Oh, goodness. Where do we want to go? Let's go to Luke chapter 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 7. This is a neat record. Walter Cummins did a little thing on this some time back. I can't remember if it was last year or when it was. But in Luke chapter 7, we'll start in verse 1. Now when he had ended, this is Jesus Christ, all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, of the Judeans, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Okay. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. This was a centurion. This was a Gentile. Now, a centurion was a Roman soldier, and he would have been responsible for in the neighborhood of 100 soldiers. He was a man of authority, and he had a servant, dying. But he loved the Judeans, built them a synagogue, but he was still a Gentile. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be what? Wow. For, now watch this, I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go. And he what? He goes. He understood this. He understood authority. He understood the authority of the spoken word, if it was spoken by someone who had the authority. He got it. So he had the authority as a centurion. He told a soldier, you go. That soldier what? He went. Serious business. He understood that. He knew that Jesus Christ had the authority, and that if Jesus Christ spoke the words, be healed, his servant would be what? He got it. Go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he what? He does it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled. He was blown away by this. He marveled. And turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. I've not seen this kind of believing. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Isn't that something? See, always did the will of the Father. You know, you can read this record. I have it written down. You guys check it out. It's in Matthew 8. It's in Matthew 8. Read the record, because they don't know what to do with it. Here, it's the servants. It's the Judeans that he sent. In Matthew 8, it says, a centurion came to Jesus Christ. That's right. Doesn't mention anything about sending anybody. It's worded in a way as the centurion himself came. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. But you know what it's doing? It's emphasizing the authority of the spoken word. Mm-hmm. Because when those men came to Jesus Christ, it was as if the centurion himself had come to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what the centurion understood. See? And that's what blew Jesus Christ's mind. He got it. It's really something. Let's keep going on. Let's go down to verse 11 here. We're almost done. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a what? She was a widow. And much people of the city were with her. You know, this is devastating. It's bad enough she's a widow. She would have, as a widow in this culture, she would have no form of income or support without a husband. Well, she had a son. And so that was like, that's what was going to save her. It's not like today. It's a totally different culture. But the son died. Now she had nothing. She had nothing. She would have been destitute. That's where she would have ended up. You know, people may have helped out initially, but ultimately she'd just end up destitute because she had no means of support. That's something. That was the culture. But watch this. And he came nigh to the gate of the city. Behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow. Much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had what?
Compassion.
And said unto her, don't cry. And he came and he touched the bier, the bier that the boy was on. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto you what?
Arise.
Well, what do you think the next thing that happened was?
He sat up.
That's right. Isn't that something? Hey, what did that woman do to deserve this? What did the centurion do? Or the lepers that he healed, what did they do? What did the man with the withered hand, what did he do? What did he do? He was just there. All he did was, Jesus Christ says, stretch forth your hand. So he and stretched it forth. That's something. Jesus Christ was doing the will of the Father. These people didn't do anything to deserve what they got. But they what? They got it. We read records where it says he healed all of them. All of them. They came from all these different cities. And he healed all of them. God's heart. That's who our Father is. That's who God is. So why is it so remarkable that all that is required for us to have all that Jesus Christ made available to have eternal life and to be righteous before God is to simply confess Jesus Christ and believe on Him? Why is that so remarkable? When you see record after record after record after record after record of people receiving these great deliverances and had did nothing to deserve it. It's always been God's heart. Isn't that something? So why is it so difficult? Why? Why do people want to attach addendums onto what Jesus Christ did? God says, believe on Him. Call upon the name of the Lord. You're saved. You've got eternal life. And you've got all that He made available. I can live it or I can not. But I'm righteous before God simply because I believed on Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? It's always been God's heart. See? But it's difficult at times because people don't know God's heart. They guess. They think they know. You know, there's a record I was going to read here where Jesus Christ was in a house. The man's name was Simon. And Simon was a Pharisee. You know what? Let's read it. What the heck, right? We'll eat in 2 minutes. Okay, I'll do this quick. Go back to Luke. Where were we? Luke 7?
Yes.
I think it's in Luke 7, by golly. Let's go there. I think I'm right. Oh, yeah, this is great. This is great. This is it. Okay. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he said unto the Pharisees, or he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears. I'm going to tell you, you know, in this culture, the tears, they would keep a bottle of tears. It was very, 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 very valuable. She was using her tears to wash his feet. This was of great significance, what she was doing. And that would have been understood in that culture. Isn't that something? I see somebody washing somebody's feet in our culture. It would have some significance, but anyway. She wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. now. When the Pharisee, which had bidden him, now, you know who the Pharisees were? The Pharisees come from a group who were committed to guarding God's word. They were committing to guarding the scriptures. See? Boy, they're sticklers. They were, we're going to guard the scriptures. Nothing is going to. But this was a Pharisee. Boy, he knew. He knew. He knew God. He knew God's heart. This is great. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. This is what he thought. He didn't say it. He thought it. You know, if this man were a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman this is that's doing this. He wouldn't have anything to do with her. See, if he were a prophet, if God really worked in him. And Jesus answering, this is great. Simon thought it. Jesus answered. That'd wake you up. So Jesus answering, he said unto him, hey, Simon, I got something to say. And he said, Master, say on. Master. Isn't that great? Master. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them would love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose him to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, you've rightly judged. And he turned to the woman, and he said unto Simon, you see this woman, Simon? Well, I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with tears. You know what? That was a slap. That was a slap at Jesus Christ to not wash his feet when he came in that house in this culture. That's right. That would be like my inviting you to dinner. You walk in my home and I don't even answer the door. You step in my house and I'm nowhere to even be found. Yeah, she wiped him with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss. You didn't even greet me. But this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil, you did not anoint. I was no honored guest. You didn't treat me with any honor. But this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. Isn't that something? See, what was God interested in? He looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. The Pharisee, what did he look at? He looks at the flesh. Couldn't even get past the flesh. Everybody knows about her. Look at her. Ah, if he knew who she was, he wouldn't let her do it. Boy, Jesus Christ, who always did the will of who? He just schooled this feller, didn't he? That's right. On what God's about. On God looking at the heart. Love. Forgiveness. That's what God's about. That's what Jesus Christ was about. Remember the woman taken in adultery? They tried to trap Jesus Christ. It's another great record. And it says he just stooped on the ground and wrote in the ground. Whoever's without, and the sin is same sin. Whoever's without the same sin, let him cast the first stone. Hey, how'd you guys even know where to find her? You know what I'm saying? Beautiful. And then he just said to the woman, hey, where's your accusers? They're gone. He said, all right, I forgive you. Isn't that beautiful? It's God's heart. Really something. Boy, you never forget that stuff. When you're reading the epistles and you read about Jesus Christ, the exalted Christ, the hope, all the things, all the wonderful, 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 wonderful things we have as saints, you can never forget just the simplicity of God's heart, that he is love. He's light, in him is no darkness at all. He's a loving heavenly Father. When he says come before him in prayer, just come before him in prayer. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Right? If he says you're righteous, you're what? You're righteous. That's what God's about. Mm-hmm. You may not feel righteous. I get that. I may not think you're too righteous. Doesn't matter. Right? God says you're righteous, you're what? If you've called upon the name of Jesus Christ, you are what God says you are. That's it. So, amen? Awesome. Amen.
Amen.
So, that's it. All right, well, we're going to, I guess we're going to eat.